The next couple of weeks, I want to share about the mind. The mind, an interesting subject. This morning, we're going to look at the battle for the mind. So on December the 7th in 1941, it was a picture-perfect morning in the South Pacific Harbor in Hawaii. At 6 a.m., the sailors were just getting out of their bunks. They were ready for a nice, lazy Sunday morning, thought that things were smooth. By 7:55 a.m., everything changed. The peacefulness of the morning broke as over 190 Japanese airplanes swooped down from the clouds. They dropped wave after wave of bombs on Pearl Harbor. The devastation was incredible. Over 2,100 men and women lost their lives that day. 987 people were injured. The enemy attack had been very carefully planned and almost flawlessly carried out. The Japanese managed to sink four U.S. battleships, badly damaged three more, destroyed two destroyers, and many other ships that day. What an incredible attack. Will never be forgotten. But you know, as Christians, we can wake up to a Pearl Harbor in our own lives. It can just all of a sudden be there. Those sailors woke up that morning thinking they were just going to have a day off, a lazy day on the ship, and all of a sudden, it happened. It won't happen, well, unless you're on holidays in Hawaii. It won't happen in the South Pacific, but the battle that Satan will launch will be waged for our minds. The enemy will try to destroy or corrupt our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes. On any given day, Satan can launch a surprise attack. Within minutes, our Christian testimony can be destroyed and our spiritual lives start to sink slowly, gradually. Everybody's saying, why did I come to church today? This is not what I signed up for. But this is reality. Peter warns us of these attacks in 1 Peter 5 and 8. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Peter declares here that Satan is our enemy. And just as at Pearl Harbor, the enemy at that time was the Japanese, and I don't want anybody to read anything in this that I'm against the Japanese, because I'm not. I'm just using it for the illustration. But at that time, the Japanese were the enemy, and they were out to destroy and demolish whatever they could. They didn't care what their bombs hit that day. They just wanted to destroy and demolish as much as they can. Satan is not worried who we are. He's not concerned where we are on the social ladder. He's not concerned if we're the janitor or if we're the Queen of England. He doesn't care. His whole principle, his whole mandate is to destroy the lives of people. Peter declares we must be alert, on guard, looking for him at all times. We need to listen for the roar of his devouring spirit. If we don't recognize Satan is real, the threat is a real threat to our Christian lives, we've lost the battle already. Like if we don't, you know, there's a lot of people out there that will go, there's no God and there's no Satan. They've lost because Satan's already won. He's lulled them into that spot. Paul agrees with Peter as he writes in Ephesians 6:11. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you may stand against the devil's schemes. See, Peter reveals that Satan is the enemy, while Paul tells us that Satan has a plan of attack. He has schemes. He has strategies that he wants to use against us. His schemes, his plan is to lull our minds into a place of complacency. Another way of putting it, he desires to dull our thinking and cloud our reasoning. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. And he creates some fictitious characters in his book, fictitious correspondence, between an elderly devil named Screwtape and his nephew named Wormwood. It's a really interesting read if you haven't read it. Screwtape's advice to Wormwood reveals some of Satan's plans. Listen to what Screwtape, so Screwtape's talking to Wormwood, or he's writing a letter to Wormwood, or at this point in the book, and this is what he says to Wormwood, who's his nephew, younger, just sort of like an apprentice, right? "You will say that these are very little sins, and doubtless, like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you can separate man from the enemy being God of Satan, obviously. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that they're cumulative. I've read this, I don't know how many times. Cumulative. You know what I'm talking about? The whole sum of the matter? That's not what C.S. Lewis wrote, but the whole sum of the matter. Effect is to edge man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder is no better than cards if cards will do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Wow. Did you catch that? The road to hell? It's not, boom, I'm here. It's not murder. It's the slow, gradual, soft, grassy slope that goes down and down and down. That's what C.S. Lewis was saying. It's not usually the large sins that take us off track in our Christian walk. It might not be a full-scale assault, as in Pearl Harbor. For the most part, things that trip us up are all those little sins that gradually draw us away. You know, cheating on our taxes, gossip, greed, bitterness, coveting, lying. They just slowly take us away. Let me give you an example of a marriage illustration, and this is of no particular illustration of nobody that I know, but it happens all the time. So a couple start arguing at home. We're gonna use the husband and wife. They start arguing. The husband goes to work and he's pretty upset. They've been arguing for a couple of weeks or however long, and it's not going good at home. So what he does is he goes to work, and a female co-worker notices that he's just not himself. So she says, are you okay? And he says, oh yeah, things are just a little tough at home. Oh, that's too bad. The next day he comes into work and he's no better, and the co-worker says, things no better? And he says, no, not really. My wife and I aren't getting along very good. We seem to be always arguing. Oh, that's really too bad. I wish I could help. The next day or two go by, and then a week later comes, and the co-worker's still not doing good. The gentleman's still not doing very good. So the co-worker says, you're still struggling? Things aren't getting any better? No, they're not getting any better. Oh, would you like to go out for coffee and we'll just talk about it? And he says, you know what? I'd like that. And so they go out for coffee and they talk. And she just lays her hand on his hand, just a friendly gesture. I understand. And that one thing leads to another. You know where the story's going. Did she just come out and say, what would have happened if she'd seen him the first day and he wasn't doing good? And she said, oh, you don't look very good today. Oh, I'm just not doing very good. Oh, would you like to go and have an affair? And what would he be done? He would have said no. And that's exactly the way Satan works in our lives. Slowly. One lie to another lie to doing this, to doing that. And finally, he's edged us far enough away from God where we're not hearing his voice anymore. We must continually ask ourselves, are there things which we are allowing in our lives that are slowly putting distance between us and God? Not just the marriage relationship, folks. In everything. The marriage relationship was just an illustration. One of a zillion I could share with you. Paul goes on in Ephesians to explain where the battle really takes place. In Ephesians 6:12, the New Living Translation reveals, For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in dark worlds, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our real battle is not against our friends, our neighbors, our wives, our spouses, our children. That's not where the real battle is. Oh, I mean, they become battles, but there's a battle warring in the spiritual realm. So our friends, our children, our spouses, or whatever. I don't know how many times my wife has said to me, I'm not the enemy. You all know I'm human. I've said to her too, she's not the enemy. I think once. She's a lovely lady. She's the best. But you know, our battle, that's just a small picture of the battle. The battle is the unseen realm. It's the spiritual realm. It's where Satan dwells and his demons dwell and want to destroy us. And I know this spooks out some people, and I know there's probably people here that are going, you know what? I didn't really come here for this morning. I didn't really want to hear this morning. It's spooky to hear about the spiritual realm. But there is a spiritual realm, and in that spiritual realm is where eternity is won and lost. Satan wants to divide us from our eternity with Jesus Christ. And that's why he battles for our minds. And that battle is real. Let me show you why Satan desires to win the battle for our minds from Scripture. I'm just going to go through four Scriptures here. One starts in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 10. It says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. On that day, thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise evil schemes. See, if Satan can get our thoughts, then he can. Where do you think all the evil schemes come from in the world? Do you think men just think them up? Some thoughts we think up ourselves, but a lot of the evil thoughts are prompted by the enemy. And if Satan can get in our mind, then he can deceive us. In Romans 1:28, we read, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. See, when we start to get separated from God, if Satan can separate us from God, he knows our minds will become depraved and we'll just start to lurk in the wicked and evil spots. Oh, the farther he can separate us from God, he knows it's the harder to get back. In 1 Timothy 6:5 in the New Living Translation, we read this. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way of becoming wealthy. So Satan knows when our minds are corrupt, we will start to turn away from God's truth. See, when our minds start becoming corrupt, we don't want to read the Bible. Because the Bible starts to tell us, oh, that's wrong. Oh, I wasn't supposed to cheat on my taxes. I wasn't supposed to tell that lie. Oh, I wasn't supposed to go have coffee with that lady. In Romans 8, verses 6 to 8, the mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. See, Satan knows if he can get us walking in the flesh, he can get us going down a path that doesn't please God. You know, I won't share with you what happened yesterday after the service, but I had to live out this message yesterday. I did not know what was going on. And when I was reading over my message this morning, I went, oh man, that's exactly what happened. Satan was doing war and trying to get me distracted from the things of God. He didn't want me to see the good things that God did yesterday. He just wanted me to focus on the words that didn't come up on the screen and all the other crud and junk that I focused on. and he tried to separate me. And I'm thankful for a faithful wife who prayed for me that I can confess my issues with. And she prayed for me. And I thank you for a faithful God who knew what was going on. He never forsook me. He was there through it all, and he brought me through. These are only a few verses which I've mentioned here of many that reveal why Satan really wants to do a spiritual battle for our minds. Satan knows if he can control our minds, then we will not be willing to totally surrender to him, to God. We'll start thinking, oh, there's a little more over here. There's a little more over here. I'm missing this. I'm missing that. I need to get in there. But we don't have to live in the fear, for we already know the plans and the schemes, right? We read that. There's plans and schemes. That's what he's going to do. He's got these plans and he's got these schemes. He wants to trip us up. So we already know that. If we're alert, Peter said, right? Be alert to that. Recognize it. That's a huge part of the battle. See, at first, I didn't recognize it yesterday. I didn't know what was going on. And we read earlier in Ephesians 6 that if we put on the full armor of God, so we can stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. Now, I don't want to talk about the full armor of God today. Someday we'll do a series on that, the full armor of God. That's an amazing series, and should have probably maybe even done that right now, but we're not going there. But I do want to talk in Ephesians 6:17 in the first part about putting on part of the armor of God, and it says, take the helmet of salvation. See, the Roman soldiers used to wear a big helmet. And you've seen them on TV and on movies, these big helmets. So when they get struck with a sword or an arrow that bounces off or it glances off and they're okay and they can recover. Well, we need the helmet of salvation. And you know, that helmet, as we put that helmet of salvation on, asking Jesus into our heart, and it's no longer the flesh that's in control, because it says in the Bible, when we come to him and when we ask Jesus into our heart, his spirit comes in. And now his spirit has control. And it's no longer the flesh that's in control, but it's the spirit, as long as we continue to feed his Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus into our lives, then our minds are shrouded by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And he gives us the victory, the helmet of salvation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the first part says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. So in other words, what Paul is saying there, when you come and you accept Jesus into your lives, we don't have to be controlled by the sinful nature or by the evil desires, by those things that Satan wants to put in our minds. I didn't have to be controlled yesterday. Or after the service, I don't think, during the service I wasn't too bad, but I started dwelling on things after and mulling them and letting Satan in my mind. And, you know, I don't have to be controlled by that, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. It is now the Spirit of Christ who lives within us, the Spirit who gives us the life and the victory. It's the Holy Spirit. As my wife prayed for me, it's the Holy Spirit that, as I read over my message this morning, that spoke to me so loudly and so clearly and gave me the victory and went, oh, I see what this is all about. This is all about this message this morning. That's what it's all about. Of the 18 warships sunk and damaged in Pearl Harbor that day, back in 1941, 13 of them were repaired and used later for a counterattack on the Japanese nation. 4 of the 6 Japanese aircraft carriers used to carry out the attack at Pearl Harbor were sunk 180 days later. Over time, the enemy was completely defeated in 1945. So in our past, Satan might have struck some devastating blows at any time in our past. But the truth is, just as the Pacific Fleet was able to regroup and have victory, our God is mighty and powerful, and we can regroup and have victory. We just need to know and recognize and be alert and know that the enemy wants to attack our minds and our thoughts. Once we recognize the enemy, then we can must be continually alert. We don't know when he'll attack. Have you ever seen an enemy say, you know what? On January the 2nd, 2025, I'm going to come and attack you. Yeah, not likely. Attacks come when we least expect it. That's the advantage the enemy tries to play on. We need to be alert. We always need to be reading our Bible. We always need to be praying. We always need to be in tune to the Holy Spirit. As we walk each day with the helmet of salvation on our heads, the Holy Spirit will restore our minds and give us the victory over the enemy. The Bible also tells us if we resist the devil, he will flee. And so when we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that's what happened this morning. He just said, you just got to resist him. He'll flee. Somebody saw me this morning when they came in and they said, it's so good to see your back. Someone noticed you were stressed yesterday. You see, when we resist the enemy, he flees. Satan has no power. We're going to talk more about this next week, but we're not going to talk about a war next week. We're going to talk about a garden. These are true words. We need to talk about this stuff because if we don't talk, if we're not aware, the enemy is going to come in. Then we'll go, oh, I wish we talked about that. I wish I knew that was going to happen.